Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That comes from 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Let me ask you a question this morning. What do you consider new? Do you consider a certified pre-owned car new? Or what about maybe a restored collector's item? Is that new to you? Or a previously lived in house? Is that a new house? I think in our culture, in our community, and in our society, we go to great lengths to really paint a pretty picture of something that might not be new. You know, we go through the phrase, it's new to you, or it's gently used. But we all know what new smells like, what new feels like, what it looks like. We understand when something is brand new. We get it. So in that passage that I just read to you, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, I'll read it one more time. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The question for you this morning is, are you new? Are you a new creature? Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I mean, I've been a Christian for a while. I want you to rethink that. Rethink that thought. Are you a new creation? In that passage, all things, not just the sum, not just a little bit, but everything has passed away. All the old things have passed away, and the new is present. I want to suggest that one of the number one reasons why the church today is not growing is because there's too much of the old person in us. There's too much of the old creature in us. And we're not truly new people. We're not so new that people just know automatically, that's a different kind of person than I'm used to, that I'm around. And we could go to different passages tonight to talk about that. Ephesians 4 goes into that about killing off the old man and putting on the new man, putting on the new person, and putting away all of the old conduct that we used to do before we were Christians and the language that we spent. But I want to go and see what Jesus has to say. Just a simple passage tonight. This morning. Look in Luke 11 for us. I want to see what Jesus has to say. Just two solutions for us about how to be new people. Luke 11. As you're turning there, good morning. So good to be back with you all. You all have been in our prayers for your growth and for the work that you're doing here and for your upcoming excitement that you're going to have with a new family moving in and doing work with you. And we're just so excited for you all. And we're thankful that we're here today. And I hope that this is a helpful lesson, and I hope that you hold me to it. I hope that you can hold each other to it, and that you can hold me to it, and that we can all be better people from the Word of God. In Luke chapter 11, in verse 27, let me give you just a little bit of context. Luke 11, Jesus is casting out demons, and as he does that, there are some that stand by and they say, they don't really have much to say. They don't know what to say. So they say, he's casting out demons by the ruler of demons. They don't really have a whole lot to get on Jesus, so that's what they have to do. They just throw out something. And he talks about that, well, that's foolish because a house divided in itself, well, then how can it stand? You know, same thing that we see in our country, you know, united we stand, divided we fall, that kind of principle. So why would the demon cast out the demon? And then he teaches about this unclean spirit and that parable. But then in verse 27, someone speaks up because they see this and they think good of it. They think, wow, this is something that Jesus has done, and then he teaches on it. And it happened in verse 27 of Luke 11 that as he spoke these things, there was a certain woman from the crowd. She raised her voice and said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nurse you." But he said, "More than that, Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So very simple. All the things that you saw, all the miracles that you just witnessed, the wonders that you saw, the teaching that I just had, more blessed are the people who will just hear it and will do it. And so I just want to think two principles today of what Jesus is saying for us to be the new creatures that he wants us to be. That we hear the word and that we do it. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 10. This is something that we've heard many times as maybe a step of salvation. We quote that from time to time. But I want you to kind of back up a little bit in the context of Romans chapter 10. And see what really he's trying to get at in Romans 10 and verse 13. It says there, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can you believe in something that you don't hear? No, how can they hear unless someone doesn't preach? That's this message there in verse 14. And how wonderful it is, how timely it is that there are people that are preaching the word. But he quotes Isaiah and saying, are they all going to believe it? What's the evidence? In verse 16, but not all have obeyed. So the belief is not just, I understand, but it's an obeying belief that we get from the word. And you know, we understand that just from James chapter 2, that demons believe, the devil believes in God, he believes in him, but he doesn't obey him. And so we understand that, but what is he saying for us? Yes, I understand that if you have never heard the word, that you will get faith from this, and that you will obey the correct actions to become a Christian. But what is he saying for me as a child of God, as I'm supposed to be a new creature? Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by the word. But if you want more faith, what do you have to do? You have to hear the word. It does not mean a Wednesday night Bible class. That does not mean a Sunday morning sermon. Those can mean those things, but I don't think that's the point of this passage, that this is why you need to go to church and listen to the sermon. It's talking about the word of God. If we can hear the word, then we'll grow by the word. Question for you. Do you want more faith? I do. I want more faith. I want more obedience in God. Well, how am I going to get that? How much am I in my Bible? How much am I in the word? To let God grow that faith in me. Because faith will come by hearing of the word. Maybe you struggle with your faith. Maybe you struggle with obeying what the Lord has to say. Or with understanding what the Lord has to say. My question is, how much reading are you doing? Or how much obeying are you doing? The word also, not just one reason why we should hear it because it's going to increase our faith, but the word also is able to do something supernatural. Yeah. Supernatural. Look at Romans 12. Just flip right over, maybe a page or two in your Bible. Romans chapter 12. So in this context, he's kind of been building up to this point all through Romans. He talks about through the first three chapters that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Whether you're a Jew in a Jewish background or a Gentile and you have a Gentile background, you all are under sin. But guess what? Faith in Jesus is the answer. And Jesus' grace through his death is the answer for you. And so then he goes on to build that argument and say, you know what? There's no difference between you all. You're all under sin. Jesus is for all people. And then he caps that. And he says this in Romans 12. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by, how do I become a new creature? How do I become transformed? The renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good will, good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Paul gives two conclusions to them. Once they realize that they're sinful, once they realize that God's grace is for all people, you need to give yourself to God, and you need to change. And that transform, that word, comes from a Greek word, which is metamorphosis. And we understand that science. We all kind of saw the science experiments as kids, or at least saw somebody do it with the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. We understand that the caterpillar does not look anything like the butterfly. It's a metamorphosis. It's a complete and utter change. We understand that the frog doesn't look anything like the tadpole. There might be a tiny resemblance because of where they come from, but it doesn't look anything like it. So how do I transform my mind? How do I renew my mind? Through that perfect will of God. And what is that? What is the will of God? He who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2:17. If we do God's word, if we understand his word, we'll abide forever. If we renew our mind, then we'll be that new creature. But see, what we'll see in a minute is you can't do, verse 1, you can't change unless you transform. And I want to say the most important thing that the word does, and this is probably the most overlooked passage when it comes to how powerful God's word is in James chapter 1. I want you to turn over there. James chapter 1, and why we should hear the word of God if we want to be new creatures. James 1. In verse 18. James 1 and verse 18. Says there, of his own will, he brought us forth by, not our parents, not a preacher, but by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. He brought us forth. We were born again out of this word. And then he goes on to talk about that we need to put off these things, we need to remove these things, and we need to receive the word. Have you ever been in a life-threatening situation? Have you ever known somebody to be in a life-threatening situation? I'm thinking about, most of the time, people have heard this expression of the man that's in the flood zone, and he's on his house, and he's looking for help, and so he doesn't see anybody coming because, you know, the flood is up to his roof, and he calls out, asking God to save him. And somebody comes on a boat, and they say, get in the boat, get in the boat. He said, no, I've asked God to save me. So then they won't drag him in. So the next boat comes, and he does the same thing. I've asked God to save me. And then the helicopter comes, and he won't take help from the helicopter. This is the last time before the flood reaches up over his house that he has an offer to be saved. So he gets up to heaven and he says, I prayed to you, God, that you would save me. And he said, I did. I sent you two boats and a helicopter. Why didn't you get in them? And it's the same thing with us. What about us in this life? How many of us will stand at judgment and God will say, did I not send you my word? Day after day after day, did I not send you my word? You had multiple copies of it in your house. You had one on your coffee table. And we'll be without excuse. We understand. Everybody in this audience probably understands that Jesus offers salvation. But the Word saves us too. And it says it right there. Which is able to save your soul. It's able to make you what God wants you to be. And that's just not something that just happens overnight. That's something that we're going to have to clear out and invest in and let it come in and change us. But it doesn't just happen from the hearing of it. It's also the doing of it. As Jesus said, those who are blessed who hear the Word but also keep the Word. You know, I'm reminded of the Pharisees that they went out and they listened. They heard John the Baptist. They wanted to listen to what he said. But John said, you know, you're a brood of vipers. They didn't want to do anything about it. They just wanted to listen. And they wanted to probably pick and condemn. So we also need to do what the Word says. And I'm reminded of what Luke 8 says, that the seed is the Word of God. That's Luke 8:12. When I think about seeds, I think about seeds that bring life. If a seed doesn't bring life, then it's pretty much useless. It's just a seed. But seeds bring life. They germinate. They grow. They grow these great, large things, plants that we call, that don't look anything like them. And I think about the hearts of the parable of the sower and those people and how they received the Word and what they did about it. And seeds make trees. Trees bear fruit. What kind of tree are we? Do we bear fruit when we're hearing the Word? Week after week, God's calling out to us through His Word. Are we doing anything about it? Remember the fig tree that didn't do anything? And we sometimes, that's kind of a strange situation when Jesus passes by the fig tree in front of his disciples and he says, cursed are you, and it just withers up. He says it didn't bear anything. It didn't create any purpose for itself. It was just there. It called itself a fig tree, but it wasn't. There in James 1, we need to prepare. James 1, verse 21, it says there that lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, but receive that word. Verse 22, but it's not just enough to receive it. It's not just enough to mentally understand that it will save my soul, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Guys, this does not mean that we are different than the world. Yes, it does mean that. I get that, but that's not the only thing. Just because I don't go out to the bars on Friday nights is not what he's talking about here. That includes that, but that's not all he's talking about. But for if anyone, verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We got to pull the weeds out of our heart. Some of us are sitting here right now. And we heard what God's Word said about His own Word. We heard that God's Word can save. That God's Word can change us. That can transform us. No other word can do that. My words aren't going to do it. Ryan's words aren't going to do it. No other word's going to be able to do that but the Word of God. And some of us just aren't impressed by that. We've got to change that. We've got to clear out our gardens and implant that Word. If you hear the Word today and you don't put it into practice, if you're not thinking about how I'm going to do it, you're just as ridiculous as this man that looks in the mirror and's got, you know, his hair in all different directions, he's got things on his face, and he's just like, oh, look all right to me. And we would all think that that would be ridiculous. So my question is, what are you doing? Are you a new creature? What are you doing? Not what are you not doing, not I don't do these sins, but what are you doing? What is one thing this last week that you did in the name of Christ? I mean intentionally did in the name of Christ. I'm not saying, well, I didn't say that curse word. I'm saying you did something in the name of Christ. You planned to do it. And finally, just to kind of a side note here, if you want to get to know yourself, you don't need Dr. Phil. You don't need chicken soup for the soul. You don't need a self-help book. Just look into the perfect law. Look in the mirror. A lot of times we like to look at the Bible as a window. We want to pick it up. We want to read it. And we want to see through to other people's problems. We want to see through to other, you know, religions and what they're doing wrong and all of these things. We want to see through it to look and pick other people apart. And what he's saying is, when you see it, it's going to bounce back and hit you in the face. It's a mirror. We've got to look into the sword that Hebrews 4 says, that pierces us, even to the division of our thoughts, the soul and the spirit, that's supernatural, that's living. Go over to Titus, just a few pages over in your Bible, your New Testament. So imagine you knew of a church that had just started, and you wanted to tell that church something from your experiences. What would you tell them? What would you tell them that they really need to do? Would you say, you know, they need to really make sure that they have this in order? They need to really make sure that they greet visitors? Or they really need to make sure? What would you tell them that they need to do or learn about? What advice would you give them? See, here in Titus, Paul is writing to a young preacher, and he left him in Crete to set things in order. He left him to appoint elders, and he talks a lot about his speech, talks a lot about how he should conduct himself. But there's something else he really, really wants him to talk about with this church. Look in verse 15, of chapter 2. It's just right there before it. Chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. So he's telling him to talk about these things. He's instructing them. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Remind them, Titus, to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. I want you to notice how many times he's trying to tell him what the church needs to do. Be ready for every good work. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We had a bad past. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that, having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now listen here. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly. I want you to tell these people all the time that those who have believed in God, that's us in this room, should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Over in verse 14, he says, let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs that they may not be unfruitful. Are you a doer of the word? Are you maintaining good works? Maintaining. We understand what that word means if you're a homeowner. Maintaining, maintenance, having to keep up with things, having to maintain your garden or your landscape. You have to do things. You have to plan to do those things. It just doesn't just happen. You have to plan to do those things. What have you got planned this week? It's Sunday. It's the beginning of the week. What have you got planned to do this week for your Lord? To be a doer of the word that we've studied for 2 hours this morning. Is that on your agenda? Is that on your schedule? Something that you can do in the name of Christ? What do people think of Manslick Road? What do people think of Manslick Road in this community? Maybe they disagree about something, but are they absolutely convinced that there's something different about them, by their good works, by the things that they do? Well, I don't know. You're stretching it a little bit. I'm not sure if it's really that important what you're saying. Well, didn't Jesus say something like this? Didn't he say in Matthew 5:17, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works, not because of us, not anything that we've done, and give glory to your Father which is in heaven. Is Manslick Road known for its good works? Or is it known for the lights of the parking lot? Not being lights, but the lights of the parking lot or the sign on the building. Is that what we're known for? Ephesians 2:10 puts it this way. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Are you truly a new creation this morning? Or are we gently used? Are we just kind of playing? Are we really doing what God has asked us to do? All things have passed away that were old. Behold, all things are new. And it's evident to the people around us that we hear God's word and it's changed us forever, and that we do it. Is that you this morning? If it's not, make a commitment. Right now. This week's going to be different. I'm going to go home today. I'm going to talk to my wife. I'm going to talk to my friends. I'm going to talk to somebody here. I'm going to say, what are we going to do this week? Would anybody say that there's needs here? Anybody say that somebody needs something here? Absolutely. What are we going to do this week? How are we going to serve our God? How are we going to give? How are we going to help? Whether that's in the household of faith or outside, how are we going to do that and bring glory to our God in heaven? As I said earlier, the number one reason the church is not growing is there's too much of the old man, too much of the old person in us. If you haven't been the new creature that you said that you would be when you were baptized into Christ, now's the time to change. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to dedicate your life to being the new creature that he wants you to be. And maybe you haven't decided that you were going to kill off that old man, as Romans 6 says, and rise up out of the watery grave, rise up in newness of life in baptism. If you haven't done that this morning, we want to help you so that we can hold your hand and we can walk toward God and his things. Whatever we can do, come forward now. So we stand and sing.